The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 487 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on the Grizz. Show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes, and you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT, the Sports RPT on Twitter. NFL fans, time to listen up. If you're one of the people saying, it's only two games, no big deal. Over the past decade, teams that start 0-2 make the playoffs 9% of the time. So you better believe week two is important in the National Football League. I will break down all of the games on Sunday. Clemson's up to number two in this week's AP College Football poll, and deservedly so. The defending champs knocked off Auburn. Auburn couldn't do anything on offense against Clemson. And then this weekend, Clemson rolls Louisville with Lamar Jackson, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. That game wasn't even close. Clemson looks really good. I know USC won in thrilling fashion over Texas, but I was thoroughly disappointed in the USC offense. I mean, where was the squad that demolished Stanford? And please don't tell me that Texas is a good defense. Please, I'll have to get out my rusty nail and start jabbing it into my eyeball. The Horns gave up 51 to Maryland. Michigan's offense also struggled this weekend versus Air Force. LSU got hammered. Big W for Mississippi State. UCLA, K-State, Stanford all went down. And how crazy was the ending to the Florida-Tennessee game? I mean, that was nuts. Lots of college football to talk about. And I will tell you who the big loser of the weekend was. And I'm talking about a huge loser. All of that on episode 487 of the Sports Report podcast. You can always weigh in on Twitter at the Sports RPT. I like to see what you have to say. Agree, disagree. It's all good on Twitter at the Sports RPT. I'm with you every Monday on GrizzlyProductions.tv. And of course, in the podcast section of iTunes. Love to see the 5-star reviews there. That helps to promote the show. So if you have just a second, keep those 5-star reviews coming on iTunes. Sunday, not a good day to be a tight end. Greg Olsen of the Panthers broke his right foot. He had surgery this morning. He's expected to miss 6 to 8 weeks. That is a gigantic loss. Olsen's a 3-time Pro Bowler with 3 straight 1,000-yard seasons. Rob Gronkowski left in the third quarter of the Patriots game at New Orleans with a groin injury. 6 catches, 116 yards, and a TD for Gronk. Said after the game that he was good. New England's already without Julian Edelman for the rest of the season, so they need a healthy Gronk. Jimmy Graham, sore ankle. On Sunday, Pete Carroll said he banged his knee. And then today, Pete Carroll talked about a sore ankle and said he's not sure if Graham is going to play this week. He only had 1 catch yesterday. And so far this season, 4 catches for 9 yards. I really thought when he went to Seattle, that would be a big addition to that Seahawks offense, and it really has not played out that way. Jordan Reed, another super tight end, reportedly has an SC joint sprain, not an AC joint sprain. I'm not a doctor, and when I hear AC, I'm thinking about a road trip to Atlantic City, okay? But the AC joint sprain was the problem he had last year when he missed 2 games. The SC joint is closer to the chest. In layman's terms, it's a chest injury. He left the game in the third quarter, but Reed did come back late in the fourth quarter. And tight ends weren't the only ones going down on Sunday. Browns receiver Corey Coleman suffered a broken hand. The Packers lost Jordy Nelson early, Randall Cobb late. Also, defensive tackle Mike Daniels, who had been playing really well for them. Green Bay was already without both of its starting offensive tackles, and it showed at Atlanta. Aaron Rodgers took a lot of shots. I know Chris Collinsworth, who I think does a really good job on TV, he started to say at the early stages of the game that, you know, those replacements at tackle were doing all right. No, they weren't. Not even close. Let me start with that Sunday night special, and it became a dud. Big picture, and you know I'm a big picture type of guy. Green Bay has a very good team, and I mentioned this on Twitter, at the Sports RPT. Very good team, stud at quarterback, great fans, very loyal, but, and this is a Fat Albert size but, can't get around this but. I can't pick them to win the Super Bowl with those corners. And I feel like I've been saying this year after year after year. Now, I know they finally did draft some good young defensive backs, but it's going to take a little time. Sorry, cheeseheads. I don't see it happening. And I'm not saying you're a bad team because you're not. But this is a passing league. It's not 3 yards in a cloud of dust. It's chuck and duck. And the Green Bay corners can't cover. Not against good teams, they can't. Falcons torched Green Bay last season. It was deja vu all over again Sunday night. And enough with the so-called nitro defense. Please, give me a break with the nitro defense. When you play like that, you don't deserve a nickname. Period. End of story. It was 24-7 and a half, and then a weird play made it 31-7. Rodgers got drilled. He throws a pass out to his right. They ruled it backwards. 15-yard fumble return touchdown by Desmond Trufant. Atlanta ended up winning 34-23. Nice debut in that gorgeous new stadium, by the way. Green Bay scored late. It wasn't that close. Julio Jones made the Packers look silly again. He does whatever he wants against that secondary. And let's say that the Packers do manage to win the NFC. Let's just say that. In the Super Bowl, they could face New England, Pittsburgh, Oakland, three teams with really good quarterbacks. Tom Brady, the best ever. Big Ben Roethlisberger, he's won it all. Derek Carr, one of the best young quarterbacks. I don't see how the Green Bay corners are going to be able to handle those teams. And look at the receivers that the Steelers and the Raiders have. Again, ton of respect for the franchise, but with those corners and that offensive line, good luck. This is episode 487 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts. With y'all Mondays on the Grizz, grizzlyproductions.tv, and in the podcast section of iTunes, just type in the Sports Report with Paul Roberts. The show will come right up. You can listen to all the previous shows as well. Much, much more coming up on the NFL, college football, and our big loser of the weekend. But first, I tell you about our great sponsor, and that is iHome. iHome has introduced its Zenergy line of products. Really, really cool. They feature sound and light therapy technology, which will help you fall asleep and wake up energized and ready to go. If you're tired at work during the day, pay attention. This can help. These new iHome products have sounds from nature and white noise that are designed to help your mind and your body relax so you can get some sleep. They also include specially designed light therapy programs, which again, promote sleep and increase your energy during the day. Dr. Michael Bruce is known as the sleep doctor, and he recommends these new iHome products. So you don't believe me, trust the good doctor. He is the most trusted authority on sleep in the nation. Go to the website, iHomeAudio.com. Take a look for yourself at the Zenergy line of products, like the bedside sleep therapy machine and the portable sleep therapy speaker. Once again, iHomeAudio.com. Back on episode 487 of the Sports Report. While we're talking about teams that got smoked this weekend, how about them Cowboys? 42-17 at Denver. Whew. Rushing yards, 178-40 in Denver's favor. Ezekiel Elliott, 9 carries for only 8 yards. The worst game of his young career. News on Elliott coming up in a second. Dak Prescott threw 2 picks. I mean, that secondary for Denver, good luck throwing on those guys. And then you got Von Miller coming off the edge. You blink and he's got a sack. I mean, he's just that quick. Trevor Siemian has looked really, really good. I thought he played well last Monday night. And this week he tied his career high with 4 touchdowns. Siemian's doing a good job there in Denver. Jerry Jones was not real happy after this one. It was a wake-up call for Dallas. Had a great season last year, high expectations coming into this season, and they just got punched in the face. Back to Elliott, a U.S. District Court judge in Texas denied the NFL's motion for an emergency stay of an injunction, which is letting Elliott play despite the 6-game suspension that was handed down by the league. So bottom line, he will continue to play. The case goes to a U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans. I know this can be very confusing, but the bottom line is he is still able to play as of now for the Cowboys. And I ripped that Green Bay defense. That Dallas defense isn't good either. Denver took them apart. Can media bobbleheads please stop bringing up Tom Brady's age? I mean, who cares if he's 40? Look at his performance at New Orleans. 30 of 39, 447 yards, 3 touchdowns. What else do you want? And look what he did last season. It was one of the best of his career at 39. So I could care less that he's 40. How are you playing? Are you producing? And he is. Patriots blew out New Orleans 36-20. You just knew they weren't starting 0-2, right? I mean, this was a gimme. Same logic applied to Tennessee. Good teams who lose their opener are usually money in the bank in week 2. Tennessee dominated Jacksonville in the second half, won 37-16. Titans put up 31 points in the second half. Marcus Mariota only sacked once, so this was not a repeat of Jacksonville versus Houston. I don't know that we can call them Saxonville anymore. Could not get to Mariota. What do I always say about quarterbacks? All together now, all right? If you don't have a quarterback, you don't win. Sam Bradford was out, left knee injury. Case Keenum was not winning at Pittsburgh. He threw for 167 yards. Steelers won 26-9. They were never threatened. They were never in doubt here. Pittsburgh 2-0. And the Steelers could have played a lot better. Just 3 of 13 on third down. And they still win it by 17 points. The Browns, they haven't had a quarterback since Bernie Kosar. You millennials, Google him, all right? And that's why the Browns never win. Ravens took down Cleveland 24-10. 3 picks for DeShone Kizer. Kevin Hogan isn't any better. Baltimore is off to a 2-0 start. They got a touchdown very late in the first half that gave them separation in the final seconds there. Ravens have 10 takeaways so far. They had 5 against Cleveland. Here's the bad news, though, for Baltimore. Guard Marshall Yanda broke his left ankle. He is done for the season. And we're talking about a 6-time Pro Bowler on that offensive line. And I think more so than most seasons, you're finally starting to hear the media bobbleheads bring up the offensive line, because week 1, there were some teams that could not protect anybody. And now these guys are realizing, hey, this isn't fantasy football. It's not just about quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end. Offensive line is important. That's a big loss up front for the Ravens. I mentioned earlier that teams can't afford to fall to 0-2. Washington was one of those squads. They left L.A. with a 27-20 win over the Rams. Sorry, L.A., you can't play Scott Tolzien every Sunday. Kirk Cousins led a 70-yard touchdown drive, capped by an 11-yard TD pass to Ryan Grant with just under 2 minutes left. Mason Foster iced it by picking off Jared Goff 12 seconds later. Washington led 13-0, never trailed, but it got really, really interesting in the fourth quarter. Eagles lost at Kansas City 27-20. This was the student versus the teacher. Andy Reid against Doug Peterson. And Big Red now 9-3 against his former assistant coaches. Travis Kelce gave the Chiefs the lead with a 15-yard touchdown catch off of a shovel pass with 6.5 minutes left to go. And if you know anything about Andy Reid, whether you saw him in Philly or now in Kansas City, he loves the shovel pass. Loves it. And that came after an interception by Carson Wentz. Wentz is trying to throw the football away. It was a screen that got blown up. It hits the helmet of Justin Houston, goes up in the air, picked off, and then Kansas City cashed in. Wentz did throw a 9-yard touchdown to Nelson Aguilar with 8 seconds left. The Eagles recovered the onside kick, so they had a shot with the Hail Mary, but it got tipped out of bounds. Game over. Wentz passed for 333 yards, 2 touchdowns, and that interception. Alshon Jeffrey caught 7 passes, 92 yards, and a score. Kareem Hunt, who is really coming through big on one of my fantasy football teams, the sleeper pick of the century. I think I got him in round 6. 2 more touchdowns, 81 yards for Kareem Hunt. Kelce, who is just a freakish athlete. I mean, you look at the tight ends in the NFL, these guys are amazing. Kelce's jumping over Eagles left and right, jumping into the end zone. 8 catches, 103 yards for him. Philadelphia only ran the ball 17 times, only 107 rushing yards, and 55 of those came from Carson Wentz. So Doug Peterson is getting drilled right now by fans and media members in Philadelphia because of the play calling. The run-to-pass ratio just is not there. LeGarrette Blount did not have a single carry. Not one. Unreal. Injuries, defensive backs Rodney McLeod at safety and Jalen Watkins at corner, both left in the first half with hamstring injuries. That's noteworthy because the Eagles are already without Ronald Darby, who they picked up in a trade with Buffalo. So the secondary is hurting in Philadelphia. Chargers and Dolphins also came down to the wire, and we all knew that the Chargers were going to lose, right? I mean, Phillip Rivers is a veteran. He's a really, really good quarterback. But man, oh man, the Chargers cannot win tight games. They can't. Miami's Cody Parkey made 4 field goals, including a 54-yarder with 1:05 to go. Rivers, who threw for 330 yards in this game, got the Chargers in range for a game-winning field goal, but the 44-yarder was no good. 19-17, Dolphins win. Chargers had a potential game-tying field goal blocked last week in Denver, and now this. Jay Cutler, everybody was wondering how he would play. 24-33, 230 yards, and most importantly, no interceptions in his Dolphins debut. That's been the problem for Cutler in his career. Turns it over all the time. Too many picks. Only about 25,000 were in attendance for the Chargers' return to L.A. The stadium, the StubHub Center, it looked like it had a lot of empty seats. L.A. just not into the Chargers. I guess there's too much else going on out there. When you have weather like that, you got a lot of other things to do. You're hanging out at the beach, right? The Raiders did what a lot of teams are going to do to the Jets this season and blow them out. Oakland won 45-20. Now, honestly, it was close for 2.5 quarters. And then the real Jets showed up. They gave up 2 touchdown runs of over 40 yards. Not easy to do. Michael Crabtree still getting it done. 3 touchdown catches for him. Oakland finished with 410 yards. No turnovers. That wasn't a surprise. This was. Seattle trailed San Francisco in the 4th quarter at home. What? This was ugly. Field goal palooza. Until Russell Wilson threw a 9-yard TD pass to Paul Richardson with 7 minutes remaining. Seattle won 12-9. Wilson came up big when he needed to. He was 4 of 5 on that touchdown drive. Also ran for 27 yards on that drive. The Niners have not scored a touchdown in 2 games. They're 0-2. Seattle's 1-1. Again, another team here who needed the game. Arizona also avoided that dreaded 0-2 start. Cardinals needed overtime to top the Colts 16-13. Arizona was down 10 in the 4th quarter. Phil Dawson missed a game-winning 42-yard field goal as time expired, but in overtime, Ty Matthew, the Honey Badger, picked off Jacoby Brissett, and that set up Dawson. This time, he came through a 30-yard field goal for the win. Carson Palmer, just 19 of 36, but he did pick it up late, ended up with 330 passing yards. The Colts 0-2, no Andrew Luck, no wins. Panthers and Bills also hooked up in a pitcher's duel. More field goals for you. Isn't that a blast? Carolina won 9-3. Hope you had the under here. The Panthers defense shut down Shady McCoy and Tyrod Taylor. Buffalo had 175 total yards. Cam Newton was sacked 6 times. At one point, looked like he was injured. Scary moment for Panthers fans, but he hung tough, stayed in the game. Panthers 2-0. The offense can't be satisfied, though. I thought Newton missed some passes in this one. Jameis Winston and the Bucs finally got to take the field. They cruised past the Bears 29-7. Chicago looked miserable. 4 turnovers for the Bears, and they were all in the first half. That was the story of this game. Mike Glennon, 2 interceptions, including a pick 6. And as you would expect, a lot of people are calling for Mitchell Trubisky, the number 2 overall draft pick, to take over at quarterback. But John Fox says no. My big takeaway after 2 weeks, I really like some of the AFC teams. Kansas City's been impressive. Beat 2 good teams, 1 at New England. Pittsburgh, I still count New England in the group of really good teams. I know what happened in the opener, but you have Tom Brady. Oakland, Denver, especially that Denver defense, and Simeon playing with confidence. But I don't see one powerhouse team in the NFC. Atlanta almost lost to Chicago. If Chicago could catch the ball, they probably win that game. Seattle has 21 points in 2 games combined. Barely beat the Niners. Dallas was embarrassed at Denver, blown off the field. Carolina can't score. Green Bay can't cover. And the offensive line may get Rodgers killed. So I don't know who you like in the NFC, but I like teams in the AFC a whole lot more. That's the truth. Let me know what you're thinking on Twitter at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT on Twitter. That's our big NFL segment here on episode 487 of the Sports Report. Let's get to college football now. Clemson has been the most impressive team in the country to me because of who they have played. They locked down Auburn. Always so much hype around Auburn. And they did nothing offensively against the Clemson D. And then Clemson rolls Louisville on the road in prime time. It was 33-7 after 3 quarters. 47-21 was the final. I was watching more of that USC-Texas game, which I'll get to in a bit. Tigers racked up 613 yards. How about Kelly Bryant? the first-year starter at quarterback, taking over for Deshaun Watson. I thought he outplayed Lamar Jackson, who only completed 50% of his passes. Now, he was pressured, but he also threw a pick six in the third quarter. That was a real big play at the time. Bryant, 22 of 32, 316 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions. He can run as well. I'm telling you, Clemson is looking good. I personally did not think they'd be on the same level. I didn't think they would be a national title contender. I thought really good team, but I didn't think great team. They look really, really tough right now. I'm going to tell USC fans that you're not going to like what I've got to say. I'm always up front with people. I'm very honest, captain of reality, king of objectivity. If you are a true national championship contender with a first-round draft pick at quarterback, the most important position, you're at home, the place is packed, you're in prime time against a Texas team that gave up 50 to Maryland, gave up half a hundred to the Terps, you should not need double overtime to beat Texas. And yes, the ending was very exciting. Freshman Sam Ellinger throwing a go-ahead touchdown pass for Texas with 45 seconds to go. That was a 91-yard drive by the Frosh. USC then answers. How about the jump pass by Sam Darnold? Then they get a last-second field goal from a walk-on Chase McGrath. Both squads get touchdowns in the first overtime. Then Ellinger is stripped, fumbled. Finally, McGrath boots the game-winning kick from 43 yards out. All right, I get all of that. But, and this is another Fat Albert-sized but, USC's far more talented than Texas. Plus, Texas turned it over four times. This should not have been this close. T. Martin, who was the offensive coordinator, former quarterback at Tennessee, won a national title. I thought he did a brutal job of play calling. I really did. USC averaged 1.9 yards per carry, and I could not believe he kept running the ball on first down. They got stuffed time after time after time again. You have a first-round pick at quarterback. How about mixing it up? How about a pass on first down? Jeez. And you're not playing the 85 Bears here either. At the end of the day, it is a win. You're 3-0, but the Trojans better pick it up on offense. Defense, there was a lot to like. Offense, same for Michigan. They only led 16-13 in the third quarter at the Big House against Air Force. Final was 29-13. Five field goals for Quinn Norden. Wilton Spate, the quarterback, only threw for 169 yards. And I think, you know, some Michigan fans wondering, is Wilton Spate good enough to win a Big Ten championship? Or heck, you know, win that division? You got Ohio State and Penn State in that division. Meanwhile, how about Oklahoma State and that quarterback, Mason Rudolph, 497 yards, five touchdowns at Pitt. They scored 49 points in the first half and won 59-21. Okie State is home against TCU this Saturday. Good one there. Speaking of routes, Mississippi State destroyed LSU. It was 37-7 in Starkville. Largest margin of victory for the Bulldogs in the 111-game series. That's how long these schools have been playing each other. Nick Fitzgerald, two touchdown passes, two touchdown runs. Mississippi State on the road against Georgia this Saturday night. Florida shocked Tennessee in Gainesville. If you haven't seen this, do yourself a favor and watch it. Google it. Felipe Franks heaves a 63-yard touchdown to Tyree Cleveland as time expired for a miraculous 26-20 win. The Hail Mary prayer was answered. And I don't understand how you let a wide receiver get behind you there. I mean, how does that happen? It's the last play. You got to keep everything in front. Just knock it down. These clubs combined to score 9 points through three quarters. Unwatchable. Then all of a sudden, the fourth quarter, they erupt for 37 points. What is going on? Gators have 12 wins in the last 13 years against the Vols. Florida just owns Tennessee. Memphis beat UCLA 48-45. This was an early wake-up call for the Bruins. And what do I say? Let the line lead the way. The Tigers were only a 3-point underdog in this one. And this was tight all day. Memphis went up for good thanks to an 81-yard drive with 10 minutes to play. Listen to these numbers for the quarterbacks. Riley Ferguson, 398 yards, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception. Josh Rosen, 34 of 56. Could have been more accurate for sure. 463 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. But UCLA loses. K-State and Stanford both went down. K-State lost at Vanderbilt 14-7. It's Vandy's first win over a ranked non-conference opponent since 1946. K-State had 2 touchdowns brought back, one on replay review of a Vanderbilt fumble, and then one on a penalty on a punt return score. Now Vanderbilt hosts number 1 Alabama. So you're able to beat K-State, but now you get an even tougher opponent in the Tide. And Stanford lost at San Diego State 20-17. The game was delayed about 25 minutes when the lights went out at Qualcomm. I guess we know why the Chargers are gone. That's where they used to play. Shortly after the lights came on, Christian Chapman threw a game-winning 8-yard touchdown to his tight end, David Wells, with 1 minute left. Not the former Yankees pitcher. This is a tight end for San Diego State. They win it 20-17. So a bunch of top 25 teams lost this past weekend. What stood out to you? Was it the USC victory in OT against Texas? Was it the way LSU lost? Was it the way Clemson performed against Louisville? I would probably put that at the top of my list. Let me know what you're thinking on Twitter about the college game. I'm at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT. This is episode 487 of the Sports Report podcast. I'm Paul Roberts on the Grizz, grizzlyproductions.tv, with you every Monday. Thanks for tuning in. 30 to 40 minutes, fast-paced, high-energy, informative sports talk with some humor and no homerism. And that's the key. You get plenty of that already. All right, finally, time to reveal the biggest loser of the weekend. Our winner, who is a real loser, drumroll provided by you, is boxing judge Adelaide Bird. She ruined a great fight, a real fight, not Mayweather-McGregor. This was actually between two boxers. Gennady Golovkin, a.k.a. Triple G, Canelo Alvarez. They met Saturday night. Really, really good fight. One judge scored it 114-114. Another judge had it 115-113 for Triple G. So you get the picture here. 114 all, 115-113. Those are the other scores. Bird scored it 118-110 for Alvarez. Total joke. I mean, just insanity. Absurd. And everyone who saw this thought it was a close fight. Most thought that Golovkin won a close decision. Some did believe it was a draw. Nobody, and I mean nobody, saw it 118-110. Another black eye for boxing. I'm a boxing fan. I watch a lot of the fights on HBO. It's one reason I pay for HBO. I will watch some pay-per-views. I did watch the Mayweather-McGregor fight, but I'm not going to defend this crap. I mean, you can't defend it. It's a total disgrace. Absolute disgrace when you see a judge like this. And I'm sure she'll get more big fights. They always do. Nothing seems to matter. But what a joke. Now, there's going to be a rematch here. So maybe they'll decide it in the ring. But this was terrible. So our big loser of the weekend, Adelaide Bird. This is episode 487 of the Sports Report. Thanks again for tuning in. Tell your friends about the show, your family members, if they're into sports, give us a try. You can listen on grizzlyproductions.tv or in the podcast section of iTunes. And all of my previous shows are there as well. So if you miss a week, you're bogged down at work, you're on vacation, kids are running you around crazy to all their different events, whatever, you can go back and listen to the previous shows. Thanks a lot for tuning in. I will talk to you next Monday. This has been episode number 487. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv.